The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Matt the Miz Mizzler on the other side of the county, and joining us as he does every single Tuesday is my guy, Eric Adelson. Professor Eric Adelson joins us. EA, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm fresh off a trip down there to Florida. It was an odd experience to see ESPN's wide world of sports completely empty. The Players Association closed the whole thing down so they could have a camp of 60 players, which I appreciated because, man, things are pretty... lines long with people going to get tested. As numbers rise, it seems like there's a spike going on down there.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Disappointing that we're still in the thick of it. So, I mean, it, by some numbers, it's worse than ever down here. And it's just sad considering we have a vaccine that's the envy of the world. We have several vaccines, and you sort of try to get through the worst of it. And you think the worst of it is over, and then it's not. And then school here, and I'm pretty sure school starts there in September, but school here starts next week. So it's disappointing, and I'm glad you got here and got back safe. I took a COVID test yesterday. There was a line. Went to Walgreens. There was a line out to the street. So people are certainly concerned here, and I just hope we're getting to the worst of it. But the thing is that this is our winter in the sense that most people are inside during this time. You were in the soup here, you know.
Right.
So this is like our February, March for Ann Arbor, and so that kind of makes it worse because people stay inside, and that contributes to the spread. So just trying to get to September, October, so it gets a little cooler, and then hopefully it's better.
Right, and so the NFL, they came out with a really stringent policy, or at least they highlighted it. I guess this was always the policy. I didn't get your comment on it, but basically if there's a forfeit due to unvaccinated players, if unvaccinated players lead to an outbreak and there's a forfeit, then both teams lose a game check. Right. And so you had some players up in arms about that. Seemingly it has had some effect on some guys, and they have gotten vaccinated, but not at the numbers in some organizations that would be ideal, that are needed. And yesterday, Mike Zimmer, he vented about it. He said he expects players to miss games during the season. He just quote, "I just feel like we're gonna have guys miss games. There are so many cases going on right now. We're gonna have guys miss some games, and we have to be prepared for it." Definitely have some coaches speaking out about this. Do you think enough pressure is going to be brought to bear from coaches and players, and ultimately the Players Association, who agreed to this NFL policy? Or do you think it's like Zimmer says, hey, you know what? We're just going to have a bunch of cases and maybe even some forfeited games.
Yeah, so I think so. I think this is going to work. I'm more concerned about college football than I'm about the pros. But just for an example, tomorrow I'm headed to Jags camp to cover that team. And I had to get a COVID test. I have to do a negative COVID test, which I did yesterday. I had to get a vaccine, proof of a vaccine, and I got to wear a mask. So that's three layers of security for me, for a member of the press. And I will probably have to wear some sort of tracking monitor, contact tracing. So that's four. So the NFL is very serious about it. I spoke to, I think, you know, please forgive me if I get the name wrong. I think it was J.C. Trotter, the Browns offensive lineman. He's the players' union president. I spoke to him a couple months ago. He's very concerned and serious about this. He's not blowing this off. And I know we hear about Cole Beasley And in a league, in any league of a thousand players, you're going to have different opinions. But he's the players' union president, and he is very concerned about going to training camp in the pandemic. He was felt that that last year showed that you don't need to do as much training camp as normal. So I feel like the players' union is on board. I know the NFL is on board. I've sat in on their webinars. And they have people waking up every single day to go over the tests and the results and the contract tracing. They had league officials waking up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, on New Year's Day. They're very serious about it. So can something break through? Of course. I mean, we're seeing it all over the country now. I mean, there's nobody's immune to this. But I really feel like the NFL is taking every possible measure it can. And I think it's, I think with maybe an exception, I think it's going to work because it's capitalism. They want people who are spending money to tickets not to see a backup Wake Forest receiver play quarterback for the Broncos. They want to see their stars. They want to see their team. They only get, I know it's only 17 games, but if you are, you know, a Lions fan or a Vikings fan or a Packers fan, you may only get 8 home games a year. So it's, the market is dictating that they're taking this seriously, and I think they are, and I think it'll work.
Yeah, that's why I stress that, look, this policy the NFL has where both teams lose game checks if there's a forfeiture due to unvaccinated players. And the players' union agreed to that. That's why I think that was one of the issues that Beasley, for instance, has, like, players' union is a joke. It's like, no, clearly the players' union is not joking. If they weren't representative of the majority of NFL players, then I think you would see, put it this way, I think they're representing the opinions, the views of the majority of the of NFL players. I just don't know that that's enough to stem the tide that Mike Zimmer sees coming. And he said, I'll give you one more quote from him yesterday, because he didn't hide his frustration. I mean, he was out front. Some coaches you see trying to placate and, you know, trying to, hey, we're going to love each other and it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not, and we're going to come together and we're going to give you the information and you make the best decision for you, and whatever you do, it's going to be okay. Mike Zimmer said, going through all the things you had to do last year with masks, protocol, traveling, can't leave for a day, can't go out to see your family, and all the things, can't go out to dinner on the road, have to wear a mask on the plane, all that stuff, it was just difficult. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I think we could put this thing to bed if we all do this, but it is what it is. I mean, he just kept going on about it. So, some coaches are done with the whole, you know, coddling, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, every job is on the line in the NFL. I mean, with how many NFL personnel at any level have real job security? I mean, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, the list is like 10 people. Everybody else needs this season to go on as scheduled because their livelihood is at stake. And so there's really, yes, there are certainly outlets. And by the way, you know, you can be hesitant and still get it. And, you know, you can be concerned and still get the vaccine. So even if players say they're not sure, it doesn't mean they're not going to get it. Good examples, Leonard Fournette, he tweeted, I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, the vaccine, I can't. And then Jenna Lane for ESPN, my colleague over there, asked him about it. And he says, you know, I'm just not sure. I don't have enough information. And you can sort of get on his case for not having enough information. That's on him. But I just think that in the end of the day, almost everybody here wants the season to be complete and wants the chance to shine. And I think that that's going to happen. And also, I think really the last year, it certainly wasn't perfect. I mean, the Titans outbreak was kind of embarrassing. They're going out to practice fields on their own. But I think for the most part, they showed last year, the NFL showed last year, that they really want this to work. And they don't want Tuesday night games. They don't want 5 p.m. starts. They don't want empty stadiums. They just want it to work. And so I think that that's going to be the overwhelming response.
Yeah, I tend to think there. I tend to side with Zimmer. I think they're going to be some. They're going to lose players. I don't know if they got through last season without forfeiting games. I'm going to use that as maybe the basis for saying it's unlikely that they will lose enough guys to forfeit games. I'm gonna guess that that's the case. But it's, you know, the other end of this for me is not, you know, convincing the unvaccinated, the people who are just dead set against vaccinated. I just don't think they're going to be convinced. I don't think you're going to convince the NFL players. Zimmer, I'll give you another quote. He said, I talked to the team, and like I said before, there are quite a few guys that are just against it. I'm not going to be able to change their mind, so it's like half the country, I guess, and I think he's right. So to me, the turning point is when we can vaccinate our kids. When we can vaccinate our kids, then I think that's the hump to me, because at that point, now I'm not concerned about, you know, as concerned about my kids going to school, or if there is a breakthrough case, you know, with someone's vaccinated and my or your family taking it to our kids who can't be vaccinated. At that point, we are as protected as we can be between the vaccine and the masks. The only thing you'd have to do at that point is, how do you handle hospitals with the cases, with the uptick in cases? And I say at that point, you prioritize based on vaccination. You know, if you have full capacity and you have people in there that are, you know, you have some people in there that are maybe in dire straits, and some have not been vaccinated and some have and might be dealing with another ailment, then bring through the people who have been vaccinated. And then the people who have been vaccinated, let them wait their turn. Unfortunately, I think some hospitals are going to have to make calls like that. Shouldn't have to be that way, EA, but I think that's the way it's going to have to be eventually.
Well, I've never heard of that idea before. It's just, it's so different having conversations in Florida and having conversations in Michigan. It just always has been from the very beginning of this. It's just, it wasn't the last time, but I think two visits ago to Ann Arbor, went with a family to Buddy's and walked into Buddy's and they said, oh, how many people is there in your party? And then the next question is, do you have a number for contact tracing? Never had that question in Florida, never. And like one of the first restaurants I go to, I get that question. It's just, you know, I understand there's a lot of people in Michigan who are hesitant and anti-vaccine, but I applaud the people in Michigan who are on board. You know, make me proud. But anyway, to go to your point, I really hope we don't get there, because that means that hospitals are overflowing.
Are overflowing, right?
Always, and I don't. I mean, these hospital workers have to do triage anyway. You know, on a regular basis, or it's just like if you have a multi-car pileup on I-94, you know, you have to say, okay, who has to go first if there are several people who need attention. They already have to do that, and you know, you don't want to have to get the situation that I don't think would happen in Ann Arbor, but in smaller towns, you know, if you have a full hospital, somebody who doesn't fit has to be maybe flown to somewhere else or transported to some other place in the state. And that carries its own risk. But if you choose, you know, someone's been vaccinated versus someone who hasn't, you know, that gets to a slippery slope. It's just like, okay, you know, has someone who hasn't taken care of themselves in some other way, you know, deserve to go ahead? Smokers, you know, do you bring in a non-smoker versus someone who smokes? That we don't want to go there, because that gets into, you know, almost a Darwinian situation that I think.
Well, when we were in the situation last year, you mentioned having to triage anyway. This was not unvaccinated versus vaccinated, but making the call on who they treat. You know, feeling like, I remember having this discussion with some of the doctors, like, you're going to get to a point where we have to make a call and say, hey, you know what, we can't treat you because you're under ordinary circumstances, we might be able to help you, but there are less severe cases that we have a higher percentage of a chance to help. So making those calls, those having those lines of demarcation, unfortunately, in some areas, you're going to have that line. What is it? If it's not vaccinated versus unvaccinated, it's going to be something. is not going to be. And to me, I think that, you know, basing it on a choice that people have, what's wrong with that? If someone chooses to not be vaccinated and gets sick with the virus and they go to the hospital and someone who has the vaccine and has gotten sick with that or something else, why is there a problem with going with choosing the person who has decided to go with the vaccine? What's wrong with that?
I'm sure that there are people in your listening audience who understand this a lot better than I do, because I think I've been in an emergency room maybe three times total in my life, and maybe one of them was when I was born. But I think the way it works is that the patient in the most trouble gets treated first. And unfortunately, it's the opposite, where if you are not vaccinated, you're probably in worse shape. And you have less of a chance. So
right, and that's why I brought up the conversations last year. They said, look, it could get to a point where it's under ordinary circumstances, a person in a severe circumstance or had a severe issue that they could be helped. There, it might come to a time, and depending on where you are, fortunately, it doesn't look like we aren't in that kind of situation up here. All of that seems like it's going on in the South right now, where you have hospitalizations really, really at a significant uptick. But once you get to the point where you start having capacity questions, you start having to consider making judgment calls on how to whom care is dispensed. So if someone is, very dire and someone is not as serious, and you got to choose who to treat. Do you treat the most treatable person, the person that's easiest to help, the person most likely to survive, if you will? Unfortunately, man, I wish it weren't that way. But you look at some of these reports coming out of your state, for instance, about how hospital numbers are going up in Alabama and Louisiana. Some of these states really seem like they are getting back to, at least from a hospitalization standpoint, how things were looking at various points when this thing was at its height.
Yeah, no, I mean, I my house is, I could walk to the hospital from here. It'd be a long walk, maybe a mile. There was a decision made at a local, not this one here where I am, but maybe, 5-10 miles from me, where they went to code black, which means that if it's not COVID related and it's not emergency, then they don't admit. And so that, of course, sort of gets to where you are. We're pretty close to that here, too close to that. And then Jacksonville, by the way, where I'm going tomorrow, very similar situation, where it's just overflow. I think it almost becomes like a military, situation where, military units, they have to sort of decide. There's several people who are in life-threatening conditions. You got to choose. And when you get to that point, I can't believe we're having this in America, but when you get to that point, you might have to have some very difficult decisions where, somebody's that close to passing on, then there's six people waiting. There might have to be some decisions that I don't envy the people making them. And it just reminds me, when I was covering the Super Bowl down here, I spoke to one of the frontline workers, one of the ER ICU workers, and she was just telling me how they just basically had to revamp the whole wing of her hospital. This was back when it was bad before. They had to revamp. She shows up for work one day, and there's a new COVID ICU, obviously they can't build a new wing of the hospital. So basically, they have to make that triage decision not only in terms of patients but in terms of space.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. You know what? It made me think about being at the NBA Players Association Top 100 camp. So, like I said, the NBA Players Association, they probably were going to move from Virginia anyway. When I first started going, they were at VCU. That got too small. They moved it to UVA. and they were looking for a bigger venue. So it fits for them to have it at the Wide World of Sports. I mean, it's just a sprawling, you've been there, it's a sprawling campus. But they shut the thing down, EA. They shut it down. And then as far as the media was concerned, the media could not be at floor level. You had to be in the stands. It was limited media. You had to wear a mask inside. You could not interview the players. They handled all interviews via Zoom. And they said, hey, there were some, because I talked to one of the reps about it. They said there were some events leading up to this that were pure incubators. It said, man, COVID spread like wildfire in a couple of tournaments leading into this. So they were very, very stringent about, testing and making sure that they had a clean environment as far as COVID was concerned. They were very committed to maintaining it. You couldn't even interview. The way they did interviews there, you could only interview the winning team. They didn't even want kids to be, so many kids to be together doing interviews at the same time via Zoom. So that tells you how serious the NBA Players Association is taking it, especially being down there in Florida, and especially seeing how seriously they aren't taking it in other places.
Yeah, I mean, I just got an email yesterday from U.S. Figure Skating, that, believe it or not, that Olympics is coming up very soon, only a few months, and it was very similar. Can't go on the premises without a mask. Can't get on the floor or the rink without clearance. And again, this is capitalism. I mean, there's a huge difference between the conversations we have about the theory and the principle of vaccine versus not vaccine and freedom. But the thing is that when it comes down to it, Disney is not going to tolerate any shenanigans, right? And this is in regular time too. I mean, you'll probably notice that Disney doesn't have a lot of accidents, a lot of mess ups. Disney is a machine for a reason, because they don't want anybody from any part of the world to be like, I'm not sure if I feel safe going to Disney World. That's the place where they feel like you need to be the safest, and that's been the case forever, and that's the case now. And with you being on Disney campus, it's their rules. It's their land, it's their rules, and that's what you're seeing there. And again, that's capitalism, that they need their individual market to work, and they are not going to suffer any issues.
Yeah.
For that reason, because they don't want somebody in the NBA to be like, you know what? Next year, I'm not sure this is a good idea. This is in Florida. this is, you know, no, they don't want that, because that's money and business that they want, and they're expecting, because their shareholders expecting that. And Disney is one of the best companies in the world traditionally because of this bottom line, and they're not going to be nice just for the sake of quote freedom if it means that they're going to lose business.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't know what Disney's policy is. I didn't speak to anyone from Disney. I spoke to some of the NBA Players Association guys, and I know what their policy was. I don't know if it was more stringent than what the Disney policy is. I don't want to misrepresent who I talked to about it, but I just know the protocols were strict, were very strict. I mean, like I said, it's like, wait, we could only interview the winning team? They said, we are keeping as much distance between players as possible off the court. I'm like, okay. I get it. I'm not going to complain about that. I support the decision wholeheartedly. So it'll be interesting, though, to see in places where things aren't so stringent what the ultimate impact is, whether pressure can be brought to bear. I'm not optimistic about it. Being brought to bear to the point of making a difference. I just think we're going to have to deal with some outbreaks until we can get more people, get the kids vaccinated. That's my concern at this point. We need to get to a break. We come back on the other side. The rumors are already brewing about the SEC's next move. Now, I'm going to call them rumors because they have not been substantiated, but they make sense, EA. We will get to them on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.